blessing to be here with you all again. Somehow it seems like it's been a while since we've been up here, but it's a blessing to be here, and count it a privilege to have this opportunity to share the Word of God. I always tremble, not because I don't believe it's true, but I realize that the Word of God in the hands of fallible man, we need to trust His wisdom to guide us. If you want, you can turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, verse 16 through 18 for an opening verse. Paul, speaking to the Romans, says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The little devotional I have to share tonight is kind of a result of some of my ponderings recently, just different people I've talked to and some of the things God has been doing in my own heart. And as I read this verse recently again, it just struck me that I'm afraid too many times we forget the gospel that we carry. We forget what we actually have as believers in the one true God, the gospel that we proclaim to others, the gospel that we claim to have within in ourselves. We forget the power in that gospel. And much of the world around us, I see Christianity around us, I talk to people, and the gospel has lost its power in their lives. And I'm afraid sometimes I can forget the power in that gospel. A few of my thoughts I wrote down. We have the awesome possibility of experiencing a gospel, a faith that overpowers the deep-seated throne of our flesh and replaces it with new desires that are after God's own heart. And there is nothing in the whole world other than the gospel of Jesus Christ that can do that to a man's heart. And we forget that sometimes. But it's a tremendous privilege that we have. It's a tremendous treasure that we hold. This gospel has the power to not only forgive us of our past sins, but also to free us from the guilt that we carry from those past sins. And I bring that point out because many, many people try to do better. Maybe they get older. Maybe they do things better. They don't do the things they used to do. But they can never erase the guilt and the shame of the past experience. They can never erase those deep burdens they carry from those things that they know they have wronged God in. Even if they don't have knowledge of God, sin carries guilt and shame. And we live in a day when maybe it almost looks like the world has no shame or guilt with their sin, but the truth is they do. They cover it up with bold, just blatant, they flaunt it. They flaunt their sin. And yet it's just to cover the guilt and the shame. But this gospel that we have can free us not only of our sins, but the guilt of our past sins. The last thing I wrote down here, this gospel has the power to change a hateful, angry, proud sinner into a loving, humble saint who loves to serve God and loves others, who loves his neighbor, who cares about others. That's the gospel we carry tonight. That's the gospel we hold. And my burden has been the last maybe month or so that to rise up and remember and refresh ourselves in what we are carrying as God's people, and to stand for that without shame, without without fear, without fear of what others think, or without fear of the world around us. You know, sin, as I said, brings shame, and the whole world carries secrets down deep in their hearts that they would be awfully ashamed of if people would find them out. Most of the world has that. But we have the opportunity as God's people to be an unashamed people. And my burden is, we know that sinners have shame. We know that. But what burdens me is when we as God's people start to become ashamed of the gospel that we carry. And I'm speaking to myself. My burden is for the saints. Let's be unashamed to stand on the Word of God, to stand on this Bible. I was talking to a man recently, and you can go to the Word of God and share things with him, and he says, I don't go along with that. That's outdated. And he claims to believe the Word of God, but he's afraid to stand on it. He's afraid to just say, that's what it says, that's what it is. And sometimes I think we come to a place where that can affect us. And we start thinking, well, maybe it doesn't really say that. Maybe I'm just looking at it wrong. But my encouragement has been recently to rise up as God's people, and let's be confident in the gospel that God has given us to carry. And one of the things that I've noticed is it has seemed to be a consistent trend of when there's a downplaying of just simple following the Word of God in obedience, in faith, in confidence, the gospel loses its power. People have great things about God and what God tells them and this revelation and these things that God does for them, but it has no power in their own lives. Their relationships are falling apart. They have nothing to show that the power of God is working in them. But let us stand on the Word of God. It gives us power. It gives us confidence. It gives us faith to carry on in the life that we live. We live in a time and place where apathy and compromise is applauded. Convictions are called insignificant preferences, just preferential things. The cry is relax. Don't make such a big deal about things. Calm down. It's okay. It'll be okay. And I believe it can affect us as God's people. We live in a time of ease and prosperity. And I think my eyes were opened to this by listening to a message, that a devotional that a brother shared. But we live in a time of ease and prosperity, and we talk about, will we ever face persecution again? But I believe the church is facing tremendous persecution today, right now. It's not physical torture, but it's a relentless pressure to muddy and distort our focus. Things that once were clear in our mind, things that we stood for, things that we believed in, things that we counted precious and we wanted for us and our children, now seem muddy and out of focus. Our minds are bombarded with the nagging feeling that maybe what we're fighting for is not even worth it. Maybe it's not worth it. The thought that maybe it doesn't actually matter that much becomes an ever more appealing thought. This is a persecution, I believe, that the church is facing today. And I think when we honestly look at it, I think we're all faced with it. Just, it seems better, it seems easier sometimes just to let it all go, just to relax, just to move the goalpost. I know God's word says that, but maybe it doesn't mean that. Maybe it means something else. But God's word is not confusing. And I believe that as we, as God's people, can just go back to that and make clear lines for us, for our children, for our churches, things become clear again. God is not the author of confusion. He is not the author of the confusion and the chaos that we see in the world around us, and sadly in much of the professing church. My burden tonight is that we as God's people would again sound the battle cry and rise up to the occasion. We as God's people are still safe to stand with conviction and confidence on the Word of God. As we do this, we will again find courage to fight the battle with confidence and assurance, not with pride, not with arrogance, but with confidence. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the only thing in the world that can truly change mankind. It's the only thing in the world that can take away my guilt. We have all the resources behind us to live confidently, to live fearlessly in today's day. It doesn't need to be confusing for the Christian. I don't believe it does. But we're surrounded with so much confusion that sometimes it can creep into our own minds. And I believe it's the persecution we face. And it has helped me to stop looking at it as we live in a time of ease and it's hard, easy to get relaxed. And that's the persecution we face. That's what the enemy is bombarding us with. And it wearies us. You know, wherever we draw a line, wherever I say this is the mountain that I'm going to fight for, this is the hill I'm going to die on, this is the line I'm going to make for myself, that's where the battle is. And it doesn't matter where we put that, there will be a battle. And we have the choice to either fight that battle or we can continuously retreat. Maybe it's not worth it. But we can, with confidence, as God's people, rise up and say, no, I will fight this battle. One of my favorite people in the Bible is one of David's mighty men. His name was Shammah. I didn't look it up. I think it's in 2 Samuel. But Shammah was one of David's mighty men, and it's in the chapter that records all the works, all the things that David's mighty men did. And it says that Shammah, along with the rest of the soldiers of the children of Israel, were running from the enemy. The Philistines were gathered into a troop. They were an organized army. And the children of Israel were fleeing. They were running. And you know what happens when you run? Everybody's running. Your backs are turned. There's confusion. There's chaos. The enemy was on top. But it says they were running through a bean field, in a lentil field. There's no significance with the lentil field. It was just a bean field. But something in the heart of Shammah said, this is not right. This is not right. And he turned around and he faced the enemy. And it says he wrought a great victory that day and his hand clave unto the sword. And I don't believe that Shammah fought that battle alone. I believe that as he turned around and faced the enemy, others joined him and fought with him. And my heart for us as God's people has just been beating lately with that burden that I don't believe today's age is necessarily any more confusing than any other age for the church. It doesn't have to be. God's word is still God's word. His truths are timeless. The things he calls us to stand for, they're there. Purity, holiness, minds that are free from sin, hearts that are longing after him. I have a burden for the church. I have a burden for young people. I count myself a young person. And we face many pressures. We face a lot of things that come our way. And my burden is not necessarily, I do have a burden for those who are not serving the Lord, who are walking in rebellion. I don't know what to say other than repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's God's word for you. But for those of us who desire to follow the Lord, my encouragement is do it with confidence. It's okay if, you know, this is one thing I can struggle with. You know, I grew up in a sheltered home, in a sheltered environment. And sometimes when you're out and about, people make jokes that are slanted maybe in a dirty way. And sometimes I'm just totally stupid. I don't get what they're saying. You know, and I'm one where I don't like that. I don't like when I'm not in the know. And those are one pressure that we can face. Well, I wonder, what are they talking about? It's okay. It's okay to be stupid concerning evil. It's 100% okay. It's okay to love your parents, to love your ministry, support them. Do it with confidence. Don't allow the enemy to make you think that it's better to just cave in to the world's ideas and cave in to the pleasures that sin offers. Sin is not fun. It's fun for a little bit, but it brings misery and guilt. It doesn't bring happiness to anyone. But young people, you have a tremendous privilege, a tremendous opportunity to stand up. You have influence over those just under you. It's one thing I've observed. I think young people will probably follow the ones just older than them more than anyone else in the congregation. Be that someone that they can copy, that they can follow, and that will take them a good direction. Don't be afraid to stand up and just simply follow the Word of God. The Word of God is no different for young people than it is for me, for the rest of us. God's standard is for holiness. God's standard is purity. And maybe the way we do courtship and the things that we hold dear to our hearts and we stand for, the world today mocks at it, says you're foolish, you're crazy. But it's a blessing. I can testify to it. I'm thankful that I come from a place where they held up those standards. And I saw the blessing in them. I followed them. It's a blessing. It's the best for us, for you. Let's continue to stand on those things without shame, without fear. I want to turn to another verse in 1 Peter 2, chapter 5. This verse has become very precious to me. Like I said earlier, I'm one where I struggle with, I don't like when I'm made fun of or when I'm not in the know on something or when I appear stupid. And it's one of the things that actually hinders me sometimes from sharing the gospel with others is I'm afraid I'll say something wrong or they'll get me in a corner and I'll look stupid. And I'm desiring to learn to overcome that. It's okay sometimes if we don't have the right answers, if we don't do everything right. But let's allow our hearts to just go back to our Lord, go back to the Word of God, and just continue to walk confidently in that. It's a blessing. We're the only people that truly have answers. I want to bring us back to that. We're the only people that truly have answers for all of life's problems. Not because we know everything, but because the Word of God is written and inspired by God who knows everything. And the things that are in that Word are perfect for all time. And as we just look at that and in confidence walk in it, we can have the answers with confidence for all mankind. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. That word confounded means to shame down or disgrace. The people of God will never come to a place where they realize with despair and grief that I followed the wrong thing. That will not happen to God's people. That will not happen if we follow God. We will never be brought to shame. Will we be mocked? Yes. Will the world try to tell us to just relax and lay down our guards, lay down our arms, and just give in to the world? Yes. But in the end, we will not be confounded. God's way will win. And it is the sinners that will be confounded. And that doesn't just happen at the end, on Judgment Day. Sin brings confusion and heartache today. Every time. It's not worth it. So that's about all I have. My encouragement tonight was just a burden from my own heart as I don't know if you're like me, but I would say probably many of us have had these thoughts. You know, sometimes as we're going through our lives, you ever have the thought that maybe we're just all wrong? Maybe it's just all wrong. Maybe the things I'm standing for, the things that I'm holding precious in my heart and seeking God for, maybe I'm just all wrong. And I've had those thoughts. I've wrestled with those things, but I've been encouraged as I've just pondering on these things that if our hearts are fully surrendered to God's will, Lord, you show me the way. Show me what I should do. Show me how I should live. Show me the things that are important to you. He will do that. He loves us. He's our Father. He wants us to make it. And I don't believe that God will allow someone with an honest heart toward him to just be all wrong. Those things in the Word of God that we follow, that we desire to hold dear to our hearts, let's seek God on it and let's do it with confidence. Let's raise up our banner and fight the enemy. The enemy has lost already. He won't win. But whose side will we be on? And my encouragement for myself and for all of us is that as we go through this week, not with a prideful, boastful confidence that I got what the world needs, but we have what the world needs. We really do. And it's okay. The world needs what we have. And as we look at people and as we look at situations and as we face the pressures that we face, God is with us. It's humbling. It shouldn't make us proud. It's humbling. It's not us. It's as we look back to him, he gives us that confidence to walk faithfully with him. And will there be times when we have doubts and fears? Yes, I do. I'm sure you probably do. But as we seek the Lord, I find for myself there's always peace in just coming before the Lord again and just lay it all out. Lord, is there anything? Lord, what is it? I surrender to you. Just show me what you want me to do. And in peace, in full surrender to our Lord Jesus Christ, is forgiveness, is healing, is confidence to live the Word of God and to live in a confused world. We live in a completely confused world. People are afraid. They're confused. They don't know. We have so much information bombarding us and different ideas, but the Bible is still the same. And as we feed on that, unclear things, I believe, will always become clear. So God bless you, and thank you for the opportunity to be here and trust that we can continue to pray for each other, that we can walk faithfully with confidence. God will be with us.